I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Hello, amazing FBAs, and welcome back to the show. Today, we are dealing with mindset. And what on earth is that doing in an Amazon podcast, you may ask yourself? Well, I am asking myself the same question, but I can answer it very simply. We will be dealing with niche research and how to find a product, sourcing and how to get better products, and launching, and all the latest tactics. We've definitely got some interviews lined up with some cool people. We have, for example, not one, but two podcasts lined up with different experts about chatbots on Facebook. So we are definitely going to be doing all that, the usual stuff. But this is, I believe, timely, because I've never in my life really been so motivated to do something based on purely what my clients have been struggling with. And really, I've done 2.5 years of mentoring one-to-one, and 2 years now of masterminds for mostly beginners. The last year, I've been fortunate enough to work with people who are doing very, very well, anywhere from £25,000 to £250,000 or upwards per month revenue. So 300 to 3 million, 300,000 to 3 million a year upwards, plus all my old mates and the experts I interview as well who do really well. So I'm fortunate to know a lot of really, really good, successful people. And looking at the differences between them, for sure, some tactical stuff helps, but it's really not the picture. That's not the big difference. Even if the people who are succeeding don't know it, I think they're mostly not succeeding because of tactical stuff. They are smart about their tactics, but I think there are other things that are helping them. But also, I think a lot of those guys also could be blocking themselves from serious progress by focusing on tactics as well. So I think for the newbies and advanced sellers alike, missing the deeper stuff is actually probably costing you a lot of money, never mind happiness. But for newbies particularly, it's not just a developmental thing, or it would be nice to have, blah, blah, blah. I think it's the absolute block of blocks, the mindset thing. And mindset breaks down into a lot of different things. What the hell does it mean? Well, first of all, it shows up in poor time management, but that normally means there's a problem with motivation and goal setting. And actually, if you dig a bit deeper, people are very passive, and that's the main difference between really active entrepreneurs who succeed and other people, which comes out into proactivity. So those are the first three habits that Covey talks about, which we will be covering over the next few podcasts, which is the habit number one of being proactive. Number two, begin with the end in mind, so goal setting in a really profound way. And number three, first things first, which is the time management maxim, which in a way, put superficially, are very simple stuff. But before you even get into that, there's a whole couple of sections that we're going to cover in the next couple of podcasts. The first one being inside out. Why on earth does this matter? How does this relate to mindset and Amazon? Well, let's dig deep, and I think you'll be amazed to find out. Okay, so let's get into this first major section, apart from the introductory section, which we did in the last podcast. Inside out, from Steve Covey, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. By the way, most of the quotes in this, so they've got quote marks around it, are from Stephen Covey himself. And that is, you know, what we've got to attribute the quotes to. I've tried to be clear about what's from me or other people. So what's Inside Out about? Well, basically, it's about the idea of the difference between the personality ethic and the character ethic. And Steve Covey says basically the literature, success literature of the last 50 years, and I guess he means in the US basically, is superficial band-aids and aspirin. It's based around the personality ethic. And we can all think of it, even if you go back, and this was printed, I guess, first in the 1980s. So I guess that goes back to the 1930s. And you can think of like Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, for example. I mean, even the title implies that, yes, your thinking matters, but it's about growing rich. And that's a somewhat superficial aim, I guess. There's rich dad, poor dad. Again, the word rich is in the title. Nothing wrong with being rich, by the way. It'd be a bit absurd for me to be in a business podcast not giving ourselves permission to be rich. But there's a focus on a certain kind of richness that I think spells trouble in the mindset of the person. And there's other things out there as well. How to win friends and influence people. You know, that's clearly an external focus rather than an internal one. That's the personality ethic thing. And it addresses acute problems. For example, if you feel I have no friends or influence, I guess, but it leaves underlying chronic issues to fester. And I really think that's true. And I've found that to be so true with newbies as well. So that we need to get into the opposite. What's that? The character side of things. What does character mean? Well, the first 150 years of successful literature, and I guess that defines success literature in the first 150 years. Well, I guess from an American perspective, anything from more than about 200 years ago doesn't exist. Obviously, from Britain, we have a slightly longer perspective, and I guess you could probably go back to the ancient Greeks. But okay, let's say 150 years in American success literature. They were basically about the principles of effective living and things like integrity and humility. Humility being like you might not know everything or you might just be wrong. Fidelity being true to your purpose, being true to a person, being true to your partner, whether a business partner or your you know, wife or husband or whatever. Courage, really basic principle for entrepreneurs. So, so important. Patience. So many people violate this. If you're trying to get a business built in 3 to 6 months that's going to support you and replace your day job, what were you thinking? Come on, this is not real. Have some patience. It might take you a whole 18 months, but if it took you 18 years to get where you are in your career, shouldn't you at least give it a couple of years? So this is something that shows up all the time. And simplicity now, you know, caveat, simplicity is good. Being simplistic in a complex world, I don't think is good, but still, I think the basic idea of simplicity is good. And the golden rule, which is do as you would be done by. In other words, you know, try and treat people as you would want to be treated yourself. And that comes down to basic things like, you know, how do you want to be treated as an employee? Okay, when you hire people for your business, if you're a more advanced seller, then think about that. Remember what it was like to be a lowly employee with a day job if you have already left. And if you're in a day job and you're wanting to sell stuff and be successful, think about how you want to be treated as a customer on Amazon, for example. If there's a problem with the product, how would you want to be contacted? How do you want to be treated, etc.? Simple stuff, right? Ben Franklin's autobiography was like a classic of this era, and yes, often quoted by other success books and self-development books, etc. Rightly so. Very quotable guy, very, very worthy person. Now, the personality ethic is a little bit in contrast with that. It includes things like public relations techniques, positive mental attitude, manipulation techniques. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that in and of itself, but there's a reference to the character ethic, but it's lip service. Elements of it are good. For example, personality growth. It's important to develop aspects of being interesting. If I were really, really boring right now, then maybe I'm being really boring, in which case you're not hearing what I'm really saying. You'll turn off the podcast, in which case I think I'm not serving you because you really need to hear this. If you are the average listener to Amazon podcasts, even an advanced seller, I would argue, but certainly if you've never sold anything, you need to hear this, in my opinion. Communication. Again, if I can't communicate well, how are you going to get the message, however good it is? Education and influence strategies. If you don't know that I exist, I'm good at promoting myself. If I can't get you to engage and influence your thinking in some way, I can't serve you either. So these things are good. Positive thinking has its place, but they are secondary, not primary traits. And this is the point. And this is, by the way, I think the absolute focus of the entire internet marketing world, but especially on Amazon-related stuff, for whatever reason, people just bypass all this stuff as if it doesn't matter. And, you know, I guess I was the same, and I was the same as an Amazon seller to start with, and I was the same as a podcaster, but I've gradually come to realize through the I was going to say intimate, but the very one-to-one, difficult sometimes, but also rewarding work, one-to-one and in small groups with people, I've realized these are actually, it is secondary, and the primary traits are the things that people actually have to get down. As Covey says, only basic goodness gives life to technique. And that sounds really down at home and naive, but you know what? If people feel that you're trying to manipulate them, then sooner or later, you're going to lose their trust. And that's such an important thing, especially in a world that's so crowded with marketing, like on Facebook, you cannot move for sponsored ads, especially if you're unfortunate enough, as I do, to work effectively in internet marketing. You get pitched every 5 seconds. My YouTube account is just full of people trying to sell me onto Amazon courses. Of course it is, and Amazon podcasts and God knows what. But that's okay. But in an environment like that, I'm not there to criticize that, by the way, either. But you know what? The people that seem to have their feet on the ground and my interests at heart are the people that get my vote. And there's so few of them. There's probably 2.5 podcasters that I really trust that I listen to, one of whom specializes in Amazon. And the other half, I think he's very clever. I'm not entirely sure I trust him, but mostly. So I listen. You know what? It's not about technique. It's about whether I feel they've got my interests at heart. It's dead simple, really. You reap what you sow. There is no shortcut. Again, a quote from Covey, of course. Another great quote, "What you are, shout so loudly in my ears that I cannot hear what you say," by Emerson. And of course, if you are, you know, obsessed with manipulating people and being loud and obnoxious, or, you know, just shoveling rubbish out there under your brand, sooner or later, people can't help noticing that, you know? Whatever you say about your product, if it's shoddy or your customer service is awful, it doesn't matter what you say about your customer service. If people's experience of that is awful, that's what they're going to actually think of you as. So what's the alternative to this ghastly superficial way of being? Well, it's the basic principles, the rock of the ages. Principles, according to Covey, are like lighthouses. They are natural laws that cannot be broken. So there's a couple of ways of saying this. I suppose you could say that you must follow these laws. Another way of putting it is natural laws exist anyway, so you might as well go with it, because there's no way around this. So it's not so much about an imposed morality, like you must be a good person and go to mass or whatever temple whatever your religion is. But it's more like, you know what, this stuff exists anyway. If you ignore this stuff, you're going to crash into it. It's not about an imposed morality, it's a sort of law of life, if you like. And I kind of like that way of looking at it. Some examples, for example, integrity, honesty, human dignity, service, excellence, or growth. So many people try and park these, the otherwise wonderful, nice people, people with PhDs, people with responsible day jobs, people with kids and wives and husbands that I work with, but they try and just kind of, they park the idea of service or growth when it comes to Amazon and just desperately scrabble for the nearest dollar. It's very odd in a way. And I suppose it's because I've been there myself. So I feel like I'm a superior being. On the contrary, I'm like, it's odd. Why would I do that? And I guess the answer is because we get a mixture of greed and fear. Greed is, oh my God, there's dollar signs that go cling, cling in our eyes and we go running for it. And then there's fear of missing out, fear of the competition, fear of the marketplace developing very fast. And the thing is, there is a rational basis to both of those things, but fear and greed aren't rational and they're not really going to serve us. So I guess these things are kind of obvious, but we just forget them when we're trying to sell on Amazon. So that's why I'm trying to remind you of them, I guess. Patience as well. I've mentioned that before. You know, patience is so out of fashion. I mean, I'm not a naturally patient person, but I'm beginning to recognize from realities kind of bopping me on the nose and going, oi, recognize good stuff takes time to build. So I'm beginning to try and build things properly now. Principles are not these things. This is an interesting one. Principles are not practices. These are specific to different circumstances. For example, the exact strategies you'd use to build a business in the e-commerce space where you have physical products with hard costs are very different from the ones you'd use to build a digital type product where you have no hard costs. For example, the tactics or practices that you would have to build a Shopify-based store are quite different than the ones you'd have on Amazon. Of course, you can integrate both channels and ways of doing things into one business, but you need to recognize the difference. For example, principles are also not values. As Covey says, a gang of thieves can share values. Like, we get in there, we rob people, and we're going to get out quickly and make as much money as we can. Sadly, that kind of sounds a little bit like the approach that some Amazon sellers have. And not, by the way, just individual Western people, but some of the big Chinese factories seem to act like that. I mean, they really put shoddy rubbish out there at a terrible price point. And you know, okay, that's one way of doing it. But over time, the market punishes that kind of thing. It just goes, this is horrible, we're not going to buy it. As Covey says, principles are the territory, but values are the map. So in other words, principles exist anyway, and we just need to be wise and try and find them, because if we don't see them, doesn't mean they're not there. We just crunch into them and they make a hole in the boat, to extend the lighthouse metaphor. The map is not the territory, as he says. Correct maps will infinitely impact our personal effectiveness far more than any amount of effort expended on changing our attitudes and behaviors. Let's just pause for a second and think about this. Effort expended on changing your attitudes and behaviors is really kind of superficial stuff, like positive mental attitude and trying to think your way out of a problem. Correct maps just basically says things like, you know what, if you try and build a business and you're not trying to put excellent stuff out that serves people well, your customers, in other words, sooner or later, whatever clever tactics you have, however positive you try and stay about stuff, you're going to fail because your products stink. You know, if you put crap out in the marketplace and people don't buy it, it's not because you have a negative attitude. It's because you aren't trying to serve people by giving them better stuff, or you're not being diligent, or you're not striving for excellence, or taking the trouble. to look at other people's products and what your customers might buy instead, which comes down to, I guess, service, or at least being diligent, or whatever other diligence perhaps would be a virtue there. Principles of growth and change. One of the principles that people really try and skip really badly, and I don't know why it's so flipping prevalent in Amazon. I guess it's an internet marketing thing. They try and skip the principle of process, which is to say that growth and development comes in sequential stages. In other words, one after another. You can't just jump stages. The child learns to turn over, sit up, crawl, walk, and run in that order. Each step's important. And that's so important for business as well, which is why we try to build this philosophy, for example, into the PLP course, if you want to check that out, which will be going live from mid-October. AmazingFBA.com/PLP, P for private, L for Lima, P for process. So private label process, Papa Lima Papa, if you're spelling it phonetically or whatever it is. It's not phonetic, you know what I mean. And that lays our philosophy out there as well. And I guess that this actually chimes in very, very well with our philosophy, which is why I'm doing this from the superficial marketing point of view. This is to channel people towards that sort of page to get people on board or on the same page, literally, as our philosophy, and attract the sort of customers that share our philosophy, and to repel those who don't, actually. Because if you're looking for a superficial quick fix, I'm just not even interested in providing that anymore. It's just so painfully ineffective. And the sort of person that attracts this is not the sort of person I want to do business with. It's just their hard work and they don't succeed, right? And one of the things we say in PLP is very simple. We need to walk before we can run. So if you haven't sold anything online yet, do a bit of retail arbitrage, sell some books off your shelf. We have loads of books around me here. Just go to Oxfam and buy some stuff. Go to Tesco's, whatever it is. These are not sophisticated strategies. Please don't follow them. But you get the idea. And then stick a product out into the marketplace on a test order, and then stick out a full private label order. And then if you're really ambitious, you need to develop your own product. So there are phases of development of your own mindset and skill set as an entrepreneur, and phases of development of your own business. And if you try and skip this stuff and go straight from nothing to buying £10,000 worth of stuff in the hope of becoming £100,000 a month seller, you're trying to skip steps. And yes, you can occasionally succeed that way for a short time by luck, but hope is not a strategy, as the Marines say in America. And you know what else? It's very unlikely to succeed because you're trying to skip over steps, and that's not really how it works. You can't really skip steps. Or at least if you do, you pay the price. That's true for piano playing or tennis or creating a business, as we just talked about. So if you're aspiring to level 10, whatever that means for you, £100,000 a month, then, and you're currently making, you know, £2,000 a month, then why don't you aim to make £3,000 or £10,000? But don't try and go straight for £100,000 within 6 months, because it's just pretty unlikely you're going to succeed. I'm in the doubtful privileged position of reading all the application forms that I make people fill in for the Zero to Hero Mastermind, or for mentoring programs, or for that matter, for the 10K Collective Mastermind as well. And it's interesting, the 10K Collective Mastermind, because they're people that are already selling and successful, they normally have pretty realistic aspirations. The people who are just starting out will sometimes say crazy things like, I've got £5,000 put into business and I want to be doing £100,000 a month in revenue by the end of the year. And occasionally I have to pull them up, but it's pretty rare. It's quite that out of whack, but sometimes the numbers really don't match up. I'm like, let's think about this. You want to take £5,000 and turn it into £1 million a year business in 12 months. Now, does that sound realistic to you? And of course, normally at that point, people are a bit sheepish and say, well, I guess not. And it's not because I'm trying to rain on their parade or pee on their bonfire or whatever other metaphor you want. I want to serve them. And the first thing I need to do to serve them is to bring them back in touch with some kind of reality, you know? It's hard to avoid that, really. So if you don't let a teacher know what level you're at, by asking a question or revealing your ignorance, you won't learn and grow. This is another thing. If you try and look clever in a Facebook group and come up with, quote, sophisticated strategies and tactics, but you haven't sold a dime online yet, you know what? That's okay. You don't feel bad about it. Just be honest, and then you can move on from where you're at. And one day you can be a genuine guru or advanced seller helping others. Same in relationships as well, for example. I mean, this stuff goes much deeper. And by the way, if you are a more powerful seller and you have a team, or you're just starting out, but you have a coach or a community that you're part of, or you're working with your supplier, all of these things here apply. To relate effectively to working associates, or for that matter, suppliers or business partners, we must learn to listen. And this requires emotional strength. Listening involves patience, openness, and a desire to understand, which are highly developed qualities of character. So this is just an example. And yeah, it applies across the board in relationships, but let's focus it on business for a minute. How many of us just try and blast our way through relationships with suppliers? I mean, I've been so guilty of that, to give them rubbish and just jump up and down. And don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about being weak and not being firm with people when it's needed. But that's the difference between that and actually listening. And the irony is, of course, if you want to do a really amazing job in negotiating, you need to listen a lot more than you speak, because you'll gather a lot of information that can actually be used, you know, in your favor. As one of the things that I've learned as a not natural listener, I've really had to learn that. I'm still having to learn that. But trust me, this is true. And it's not just about happy, clappy, touchy-feely. It's hard business sense as well. This is why I'm bringing this to you, right? I'm not a life coach. This is a business podcast. This is about business success. Don't be mistaken. As it says here, it's so much easier to operate from a low emotional level and give high level advice. I mean, that's so true on Facebook groups, guys. It's not, I mean, the public facing ones. I mean, people who have not made a penny and don't have the courage or the initiative to start a business are there spouting stuff because they read it in a book or in another Facebook group. I do my best not to do that. Undoubtedly, I fall into that as well. And mea culpa, you know, I do my best not to do that these days. Another error that's a classic one in relationships that may again come into if you have a team, the error of borrowing strength or pulling rank. And I'm certainly being guilty of this, and using your positional authority and forcing people to do what you want. Borrowing strength builds weakness. It builds weakness in multiple places in the borrower, because it reinforces their dependence on external factors. For example, if you've got some poor guy in the Philippines, guy or gal on $3 an hour, and you're paying for them and that's paying their rent, then of course they're dependent on you. But that's not a great way to learn to lead. It also weakens the person who's acquiescing with the bullying or the borrowing of strength, you know, if you want to put it politely. It stunts their growth of independent reasoning, their growth generally, but also their internal discipline as well. So you can't just leave them on their own to do stuff because they haven't built loyalty to you. They haven't built initiative. And it stunts the growth of the relationship as well, because fear replaces cooperation. It's somewhat arbitrary and somewhat defensive. And by the way, this can also apply, all of these things can apply to your relationship with your supplier in China. And I'm not suggesting you should be naive, right? Being naive is also not part of being a sophisticated and grown-up human being, but it is about developing quality relationships. And that can be difficult to do with suppliers who are trying to, you know, basically get one over you sometimes. So that requires listening even more closely and understanding that when they're trying to put one over you, and just being very clear that you're not an idiot and you're not going to have that do for you. But this is really more about the sort of stuff with your team, and for that matter, even your spouse or anyone like that. The big question is, what happens when the source of borrowed strength, be it position or money, changes or is no longer there? For example, if you depend on being very, very browbeating and being, you know, on Skype 5 times a day to get your PAs to do stuff or your VA, what happens if you're ill for a week? Does your business just fall apart because they don't do stuff? You know, there's a lot to think about there. Another thing that I think is really good, and this kind of comes from the showbiz world, which is probably just as precarious as entrepreneurship. Be nice to the people on your way up, because you'll meet them on your way down, as Wilson Meisner says, or my version of it that I know is, don't on people on the way up, because they'll on you on the way down, right? Expletive deleted, but it's really good advice. Now, whole new section. The way we see the problem is the problem. This is another way of thinking. Again, it sounds a bit woo-woo, but if you think it through, it isn't. It's quite profound, worth exploring. People are intrigued. This is so true of Amazon, right? People are intrigued when they see good things happening in organizations that are based on solid principles, and their immediate response is very revealing of their basic paradigm. Paradigm, posh word for pattern, way of seeing the world. How do you do it? Teach me the technique. Like, how many times a day does that happen in the Amazon world? Somebody makes a rip-roaring success. The next minute, everybody's begging them to show them how their Facebook marketing works, blah, blah, blah. Sure, there is some superficial stuff you need to know, but what they're really saying is the problem. Give me some quick fix advice or solution that will relieve the pain in my own situation. They're trying to get away from pain, which is only human and normal, and that's a good thing to do, but they're trying to do it too quickly, and they're being driven by the pain instead of what they really need to do to create a solid business. They will find people who will meet their needs and teach them these things, and for a short time, skills and techniques may appear to work. There's loads of it out there. And I've been an affiliate for some of these guys, and that's okay. I mean, actually, superficial stuff is not in itself a problem, but unless you depend on it. it's not about what you do, it's about your relationship to it, I would say. No? The underlying chronic condition remains and eventually new acute symptoms will appear. This is the problem. It's not a problem to have superficial fixes. The problem is not addressing the underlying causes. That is my contention. And if you are, for example, failing to rank a product because it's just the damn same as everything else out there, it's a me too product, then you were lazy in either your niche research or you just didn't know any better, which is fine. Ignorance is a prelude to learning. So that's cool, but just treat it for what it is. Either that happened or you created a monster of a product where you found a poor quality product or the branding wasn't differentiated. In other words, it looked the damn same as everything else. If you try and pull every lever you can in the launch side of things like Facebook ads and super URLs, storefront URLs, whatever type of URL, there's one bought every minute, you know, whatever it is, it depends when you're listening to this, how meaningful those words even are, right? But, you know, fine. But if you messed up on the me too-ness of your product, it won't make any difference. The chronic underlying condition is that you are not reading your market well enough, or even worse, probably you're just not really connected with a particular set of people and really understanding their pains. And I was relieved to see, going back to podcasts for different reasons the other day, that back in early 2016, I was banging the drum of really understanding your market deeply. And I'm really glad I was. I couldn't remember that I'd gone back that far with that obsession, but I really am into that. So that might be, for example, one of the chronic causes. Here's the thing. The more people are into quick fix and focus on the acute problems and pain, the more that very approach contributes to the underlying chronic condition. I'm going to let that sit for a minute. I'm going to say it again. This is Covey again. The more people are into quick fix and focus on the acute problems and pain, the more that very approach contributes to the underlying chronic condition. Right? In other words, in my words, I think that means that if you are obsessed with quick fixes, you never get round to looking at underlying problems in the first place. And that becomes a self-perpetuating thing. And actually, Andre Chaperon talks very knowledgeably about this in his thing called Frank versus Matt, you know, the sort of superficial grabbing at solutions versus growing up as a business person and thinking strategically and not going for shiny objects. And we've all been there, and I've been there, and I probably still am there, right? So I'm just as bad, but at least now I'm seeing how deep this problem goes. And the way we see the problem is the problem. For example, for the podcast, I've actually finally got around to the idea that maybe I'll have a week or two where I didn't put much content out and I'll get punished by iTunes. But instead of running around in fear of iTunes ranking me or not ranking me, I've decided to have a proper content strategy, put out some thematically based stuff. And this mindset thing is part of the result of that. And it will take time to tell whether there's a payoff for that or whether it was not. Actually, right, in terms of SEO and the podcast getting more listeners or more engagement or whatever. But I know that this is content that is needed in the community because of the deep work that I've done with Mentioned Clients and Zero to Hero Masterminds, hour after hour after hour of one-to-one or small group intensive work. So I know this is important. So I've got faith to put it out. So for example, there, I'm trying to get over the quick fix of just whacking out some random content. Next one, the way we see the problem is the problem. Another example, management of employees. I've taken course after course on effective management training. This is Covey again. I expect a lot out of my employees and I work hard to be friendly toward them and treat them right. This could be any group of masterminds or any other collection of Amazon sellers talking about their VAs, could it not? But I don't feel any loyalty from them. I think if I were homesick for a day, they spend most of their time gabbing. Again, you know, we've all been there with that feeling, right? Personality ethic would say, take dramatic action, make heads roll, shape up or ship out, I think is the phrase in the States. Find a motivational training program, hire new people. But is it possible that under that apparently disloyal behavior, those employees feel like I'm treating them as mechanical objects? This is Covey again. Deep inside, is that really the way I see them? Is there a chance that the way I look at the people who work for me is part of the problem? In other words, seeing them as mechanical objects. I mean, we've all been guilty of that. And we certainly have been so guilty of seeing the stuff I sell on Amazon as just vehicles to make some easy cash, which was never easy. And that doesn't work very well. It kind of worked in 2014. It ain't going to work in 2018, 2019 and beyond for sure. And seeing the customers on Amazon as some kind of petty idiots. I mean, if you take the word employees and substitute Amazon customers, even if you're a newbie who just got selling, you know, this is pretty profound stuff. I mean, there are some idiots on Amazon because the Amazon is 50% of e-commerce now, pretty much, and e-commerce is a big chunk of retail. It's huge. So basically, a good subsection of the world is on Amazon, ranging from the idiots to the angelic. But most people probably deserve to be treated as human beings, because we want to be treated as human beings when we buy stuff on Amazon, right? It goes back to the golden rule, do as you would be done by. So it's very, very probable, I would say, not just possible, that you're probably trying to treat your Amazon customers, or the customers that you serve who are Amazon's customers, whatever your view of that, as mechanical cash cow generation devices. And they're not. They're human beings. And if you come across as treating them like humans, trust me from experience, like, they're delighted. Because they expect to be treated like objects. Where we see the problem is the problem. Example number two, time management. This is absolutely up there for any newbies, i.e. people who haven't sold on Amazon or who just got started. So if that's you, really listen up. How does this sound to you? There is so much to do. There's never enough time. I feel pressured and hassled all day, every day. I've attended time management seminars. And I've tried half a dozen different planning systems, rather, they've helped, but I don't feel I'm living the happy, productive, peaceful life I want to live. That's Covey again, but sort of speaking as one of his problem clients. That could be me today or yesterday or any time in my life, I have to say. Always feeling pressured. Personality ethic would say there must be something out there. Maybe get a new planner, go for a new seminar. That's not something I personally do, because the irony is not lost on me of spending hours in a time management seminar in order to get more time. But I certainly read the books. I've read loads of stuff, amongst which I would include The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Kind of started off as driven by time management issues. And if that's you, fine. But you'll discover it goes way deeper than that. And of course, podcasts. Hello, you're listening to this. Well, I'm aiming to provide something that is less than superficial and has some depth. And I can say that because it's not my content primarily. I'm reflecting really on Covey and bringing up to date for Amazon sellers. That's it. But is there a chance that efficiency is not the answer? Is getting more things done in less time going to make a difference? And obviously the answer is, if you're working on the wrong things, no, it ain't. Could there be something I need to see in a deeper way that affects the way I see my time, my life, and my own nature? And of course the answer is yes. The way I see my time is just, like a lot of people, I see it somehow as a list of a million things to do, all of which have to be done. You know what the truth is? It's 80-20. If I do one important thing today or two important things, that will move the needle on my business and my life. That's been a good day. It's better to do four or five important things. But if that's all I do and they're the right things, that's okay. I don't have to achieve everything, and I'm never going to achieve everything. I'm never going to be perfect. As Tim Ferriss said, I was originally going to quote a lot of other books in this that I read that I find very, very helpful and powerful. But I found so much meat to dig into, as it were, in The 7 Habits. I haven't really mentioned them. But Tim Ferriss says, you know, if you're going to achieve good things, you've got to be willing to let some small bad things happen. And I would add to that, a lot of small bad things happen. So you're going to be late with your library books, you're going to leave the washing up, whatever, which reminds you, I've got to get that done before my wife comes back home. But you know what? I'm getting the podcast done because that's the priority for the day. Being precedes having. If you want to have more freedom or more latitude in your job, be a more responsible, more helpful, more contributing employee. That is Covey's example from the workplace. But my example for entrepreneurs would be this. If you want to have more freedom and more wealth in your business and life, which seems to be the two big drivers for most people, you need to be a few different things. You need to be proactive enough to start without being told to and being managed, which is really hard to do, by the way. And habit one, being proactive, is the first of the 7 habits for a good reason. And I think that's actually what lies behind a lot of people getting in stasis and staying in stasis, not moving, getting becalmed and stuck. And it is hard to do on your own. And if you are stuck, I would encourage you to get help. I would say get a community and get a coach. And if you have no structure, get a course as well. I think you need all three. I've used all three. I'm still a member of Masterminds. I still pay healthy money for a business coach as well. And it's money well spent. So don't try and do this stuff on your own, but you can't part responsibility on a course or a guru or a coach for being proactive. That is your responsibility. You need to be disciplined enough to do stuff when you don't feel like it. Like this podcast, not only is my voice going and I've got a cold coming, but I recorded this once and it failed to record. So I'm doing it again because I think I've got to get it out there for my business and to keep the content going, but also because you need to hear this because it's an important message, in my opinion. You've got to be courageous enough to start and carry on in the face of fear and failures. We've all had failed products. You've actually sold something. Certainly everybody, and this is the big block for newbies, has fear of having a failed product. You know what? That fear is the big thing that's blocking you, really. If you can get over that and be courageous and continuously courageous, not just once, but every day, then you have a good chance of actually making it into to actually having a business. And of course, you've got to care enough. You've got to be caring. You've got to be a person that cares about others and is willing to serve your customers' needs to create fantastic products, marketing, whatever it is, that actually serves them. For example, your marketing, even though it may feel like it's all about pushing objects and or services at people in order to make money, that I would say is that's a problem thinking in itself. You're never going to succeed that way long term, in my opinion. You need to provide products and services that actually fulfill the needs and wants of your customers. If you do that, then you'll get paid handsomely as well. So the basic first part of this, the beginning and end of what Covey says, is about the inside-out approach. The inside-out approach says that private victories precede public victories, that making and keeping promises to ourselves precedes making and keeping promises to others. And he says also, I've never seen lasting solutions to problems, lasting happiness and success that come from the outside in. Success is an inside job, as somebody said once. Can't remember who that was. So this is really, I think, the big sticking point for newbies to the Amazon scene, or for that matter, entrepreneurship. They get stuck because they can't keep promises to themselves because it's the hardest promise to keep. If I have a client in the diary, I'll make sure I'm on Zoom. And if I'm 5 minutes late, I'm highly apologetic. If I have a mastermind meeting, I get there. If I have to speak to my supplier about a product, I'll get there. If my supplier has sent me a Skype message saying, what about this packaging? Is this okay? Have we got the shipping labels right? Whatever. You know, I'm in motion. The hardest thing is to get into motion. That is truly hard to do on your own. I mean, you need to be proactive. I would honestly say you probably need a bit of help if you've been stuck with it for more than 3 months. So first of all, I wanted to make sure I provided you with massive value here. In and of itself, 99% of people listening will never pay me a penny for any products or services. And that's cool by me because I want to leave the world a better place than I found it. And if this is my way of doing it, fine by me. Equally, I'm going to mention the ways I can give you help because I think I'm often guilty of not saying that enough. And if you don't want to hear any more about what I have to offer, then ignore all of this, go get the book, and I'll see you in the next podcast. But just quickly, I can tell you about getting help because doing this stuff on your own is super hard and you don't have to. So if you're making £25,000 a month in Amazon revenue already, you can join the 10K Collective. It's application only. Go to amazingfba.com/10K. I seem to put four W's in the slide if you're watching the video. So yeah, don't do that. www.amazingfba.com/10K. Application only. You'll get the information there. You apply. And then if you're accepted through the application, on a form, then we'll have an interview. And then after that, we can decide if it's a good fit for both sides. So that's for the more advanced people. As Ashley Pierce, who's a member of that, says, it's 100% accountability without the BS. Just to quickly let you know about that, he says, thanks again, Michael Veazey. I'm a motivated kind of guy, and I like to think I'm not too bad at strategizing, but the 10K Collective Mastermind has pushed me further than I knew possible. Ongoing validation of your plans as you implement, reflect, change, and repeat. And the big one, prioritization. Everything is an informed guess when you're trying and getting the data for yourself. With so many people and so many experiences, the pool of knowledge on what to prioritize is invaluable. And I have to say that apart from, you know, I'm not really going to have to blow my own trumpet here. It's simply been a runaway success because the quality of the people is so good. They do masses for each other. It's an amazing group. If you are lucky enough to be a person that qualifies for that, you probably should be applying. It's £99 a month at the moment. The price is going to go up. But we've also got a waiting list. By the time you look at it, the price might be £150 a month. But at that price point, it's still massive value. Talk to some of the members in it if you want to. We can put you in touch. But anyway, so that's that one. And I do think that's of massive value. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now, over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs, give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few. Then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.